Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo. Today we're going to be doing something that's going to be expanding mind power in a very special way. I have a guest, Michael Eastwood. We're going to be, through the magic of technology, traveling to England to talk with this gentleman, and it's absolutely marvelous to be able to interact with someone who is considered one of the leading experts on the use of crystals. Now, crystals are being utilized in technology in so many different ways. But we're going to be utilizing them, or let's say introducing you perhaps, to a different level of understanding about how crystals can be used in your life. I want to welcome to the show Michael Eastwood. Michael, where are you in England, and welcome.
Hello, Donna. I'm talking to you from the Isle of Wight.
Ah, well, I am just so delighted that you're here. Your book, Unfolding Our Light, and your cards, The Crystal Oversoul Attunement, both of these books are just absolutely gorgeous. I mean, I don't think I have often seen the kind of photography that shows crystals of all kinds, all different types of stones, as exquisitely as in your book. You've got to talk about how you got involved with crystals, because so many times I've encountered people when they're talking about crystals, they sound like they're from another planet. And you sit there and your eyes sort of glaze over and you go, uh-huh, yeah, right. And you walk away. You really had a very personal experience with this. Tell me, Michael, what it was that made you aware that crystals are living essences.
Well, I've always been, as a child, I was very aware of energy, and I could see energy fields. Obviously, I didn't know what they were. I had no name for them, but I was very conscious of what I would later call beings, that we are surrounded by other dimensions, if you like. And later in my life, when I encountered crystals, I was aware that crystals had a field of light around them, a consciousness, if you like, and that was my first introduction.
You have dedicated your life to understanding crystals. In fact, you are the chairman of the Affiliation of Crystal Healing Organization, and when you decided to put this book together, you're a mature man, you have a great deal of knowledge. How were you able to, I would say, compartmentalize the information about these various crystals? Because you go into your book about the various experiences that you've had in dealing with certain crystals. But how were you able to refine it? Because these books are not huge books. I've got books on stones that are 2 or 3 inches thick. Yours are very compact and very comprehensive. How did you manage to do that?
Well, I've been in the business a long time, and when I first started writing, I started, as I'm sure everyone does, thinking, you know, I'm writing my crystal magnum opus. And along the way, I kept thinking, I'm sure I'm not here just to do another thick crystal book, A to Z, blying away about different crystals and repeating, you know, the same information that most books have got. And I guess I was, you know, without being aware of that, I was asking my higher self, if you like, or my being to, you know, to give me an answer to that, really, because I really felt that I was here to say something different. And so my work is a reflection of that, that I really feel that I like to be original. And I feel that a lot of crystal books, and that's not to disrespect any of the other crystal books, I know most of the people who've written them, and they're all very delightful people. But nonetheless, I felt that I didn't want to do the same as everyone else. That would have been the easy route. And I also felt that I wanted to compress as much information into fewer words as possible, which is quite an exercise to achieve.
Yes, it is. Now, in your book, Unfolding Our Light, this is about creating crystal mandalas.
Yes.
Now, I know my audience is well aware of what a mandala is. There are cultures throughout the world that have used mandalas as a form of meditation. But you've gone into a different arena with your thinking and the utilization of crystals. And in this book, you have photos of yourself standing within a circle of crystals, and also your crystal oversoul attunement cards, which are exquisitely gorgeous, just absolutely gorgeous. And when I have gone through your material and I see the photos, you do teaching and you have people that are in groups. One of the photos, I mean, there's the ones with you standing within the crystals there. One of the photos shows an entire class, and they must have had a bring-your-own-pillow day because there they are. They're all laying on the floor, pillows underneath their head. And here are all of these cards that you've designed, which, again, are just exquisitely gorgeous. And then there are crystals inside this circle that they are exposed to, but they're as a group. I mean, there might be 20 people here, 15 to 20 people. As a group, they're being exposed to all of this energy, and of course, cohesively, they themselves are contributing to this energy. Now, tell us the difference between standing within a circle of stones, and you go through exercises in your book utilizing different stones, and we'll talk about some of the properties of those later, but the difference of working in a group with a crystal and doing it alone, why is one perhaps more preferable than the other, or does it make any difference?
Well, I think the reason I did both, or offer both in the book, is I like to treat my audience that there are some people who are on their own, don't have access to groups, or are in isolated communities, or you know, whatever reason, or unable to travel, or not able-bodied. So I wanted to offer the same process to individuals or to people who want to apply the information, who have access to groups, or who want to start a group as well. And that the picture you're referring to with the group, I provided the pillows, by the way.
Oh, good.
And it's like a cosmic sleepover, that picture. And when I took that picture and then looked at it later on, it captures something very special which happened on that day, which I can't really put into words, but every time I look at it, I'm somehow transported to that particular day and that event. And everyone who participated in that, something very special happened. And they were indeed exposed to a great deal of energy and contributed themselves. I like the way you said that and perceived that. Because that's how I see it, that it is a mutual participation between the mineral kingdom and the people involved as well. We all bring something into that space. But that's the reason why I offer both examples for different people's circumstances.
There was a movie done, and I don't know if you've ever seen it. It was quite an incredible movie here in the U.S., I thought. It was called The Dark Crystal. Story. So you know it well. Okay. And, of course, the dynamic scene at the very end is when all of these separate parts,
yeah.
And by the way, if any of you listening have not seen the movie, you've got to go see it because it's very powerful. It's got a tremendous message to it. But at the very end, the fragmented parts come together into one wholeness. And that is one of the themes that you have in your material, that there is really an awakening that is occurring, and it's occurring at a very, very fast rate, because we are finishing out an old cycle where what is no longer necessary, what is no longer needed, whether it's a belief system, certain habits, I don't care what you want, what word you want to put to it, it's as if it has to be recycled now. And when I was going through your material, I thought, this is part of that recycling process. I know that may sound a little dramatic, but each of us have our own processing we've got to go through. I don't care who we are. And to get rid of the old that is no longer serving us doesn't mean we throw the baby out with the bathwater, but you let go of what no longer serves you so that you can be open and receptive to what is going to serve you. And that can be on multiple levels, mentally, spiritually, physically, emotionally. It's there. And the attachments often we have such a significance to us without our realizing it. We don't realize lots of times we hang on to things, and I'm not just talking about physical things, because we're used to them. May not serve us at all, but we're used to them. So it's like we're carrying along a lot of tin cans. They're on all these little strings. They're going clunk, 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 and we wonder why we can't get things in order. And the use of the crystals, through some of the exercise you have, you just do such a delightful job of imparting to people a very simplistic way of utilizing this. What has been one of the most profound experiences that you have had personally in working with crystals that allowed you to see how valuable they really are?
Probably when I wrote the book, the first book that accompanied the Crystal Over Soul Attunement. When I started to write that book, that was at my early stages of writing, and had started, and I was not satisfied with what I was writing myself, and I could feel that although it was okay, my heart wasn't really in it, and I wasn't bringing into the word all that I felt that I wanted to bring in. And that included all my understanding of this shifted evolution that we're experiencing. I was born with this feeling of knowing that we're here on purpose this particular time. It's not a random act of us being here. We're here to bring each of us in our own particular way to bring something in. And so anyway, all this was going through my mind, and then the first card that's in the deck of the Crystal Over Soul Attunement is Ajuite, and I was holding a piece of Ajuite, and I was sort of putting out this question of like, you know, come on guys, you know, this, you know, if I'm here to participate in this shift in evolution through my written work and my teaching work, you know, give it to me in an original way. And that's when, you know, I had my very profound experience with Ajuite, where I met the oversoul of Ajuite. I cover it in quite a long way within the book. And that was, I suppose, probably one of the biggest triggering experiences of my life, because without that deck and book would not have happened. Unfolding Our Light would not have happened. All the workshops and events I do and my connection with crystals would not have happened. So I guess that was a pretty big one. Yeah, it changed my life.
You talk about 10 chakras.
Yeah.
And this is something I know I've heard of before, that there's many different points of energy, and you deal with that in your book, Unfolding Our Light. You go into quite a bit of detail with it. And one of the components that you bring up is a definite reference to Lemuria. And Lemuria was a place that existed. And, of course, with archaeological finds, we're discovering a lot of places today that we didn't, you know, that archaeologists said, no, it wasn't possible they existed, or scientists or whoever had their opinions. And lo and behold, because of technology, we're discovering a lot more existed that we didn't realize. And you have some very powerful statements about this culture, and you talk about, you know, seismic activity and how Lemuria literally went underwater very, very quickly because of changes that were occurring in the Earth. And I know there are some people I've heard say, gee whiz, look at what we're going through today. We're having weather fronts hit people. And they don't realize the Earth is a living thing. She is absolutely alive. And every once in a while, she has to roll over. And it's not something that we as humans really appreciate, but she's going to create havoc periodically just because of what she is doing in her own way, because it's not always comfortable. And this is part of what you impart as far as reference to Lemuria. Have you ever encountered people that said, you are from outer space? This is something that nobody ever is going to believe.
That crossed my mind when, you know, with the way I live my life and through my teaching and written work, yes, that sort of crosses my mind from time to time, but I've always felt an outsider. I've always felt that I was different, and as a child, I used to spend my pocket money on Eric von Däniken books about beings from outer space, building the pyramids and things. And so obviously I had that sense as a child already. And I don't believe the same things as I believe now, but for a long time I felt an outsider. And the work I've explored over the last probably 25 years with my sort of crystal and my healing work, I've come to the point of enjoying being an outsider as well, and enjoying a sense of feeling different and a sense of feeling that I'm an ancient being who's come on many journeys of lifetime after lifetime. Some of them very conscious, some of them probably not. And yet here I am in this particular time in evolution, along with many, many, many thousands of other beings who feel they're actually this particular time where asked to unfold our light in our own particular unique way and be who we are. And that does mean not fitting in. And that does mean celebrating our difference as well, and being true to that difference, being true to our light. And so far, it's been brilliant for me. I don't feel that I'd be able to do what I was doing if I was the same as everyone else at all. It's the sense of difference is really the driving force of all the work I do. And the people I work with, or who are drawn to my work, feel that on some deep level, that they're also here to explore who they are, the difference of who they are, and not to fit in.
In your cards, or with your cards, I'll have to share with you this morning, because I knew we were going to be doing the interview, I decided I was going to just randomly pull a card. And the card that I came up with was card number 19, which is called the Angel Aura. And this is a stone. I'd never heard of it before. And it really is fascinating how you use this. Now, if someone, and these cards are just spectacularly gorgeous, when I pulled this up and I read the information about it, I thought, my goodness, this really is relating to a lot of the evolution of change that I'm experiencing right now. And I thought, isn't this fascinating that I would pull this card up? I've got the interview today. And I looked at that and I said, all right, there's more going on than what I realize. And for those of you listening, I know that you can't see this card, but it is a white crystal that has so many exquisite tones in it. And with this, if someone were to use the Angel Aura, the stone, how do they find these stones? Where can they find these stones, Michael? Because your book just demonstrates them so exquisitely.
Well, it depends, obviously, where people are listening to this, that if they're fortunate enough to have a local New Age or crystal store, then go in with the book and ask these particular stones. They can search for them on the web, on the net, or my website, which is aristia.co.uk. All of the stones that are in the book and more, I offer and source on there.
And again, your website is Arista, A, like Adam, and Arista is spelled A-R-I-S-T-A.
T-I-A.
T-I-A. Okay, thank you very much for correcting me. A, at, give us the rest.
So Arista, A-R-I-S-T-I-A, .co.uk.
Co.uk. All right.
Just put Arista.com. Both of those will come up and navigate you towards me.
Arista.com. Now, let's talk about the meanings of some of these crystals, because they are just, some of them I'm familiar with, and I would just like to bring out some of these common ones. One is lapis lazuli. Mm. Now, this has been related to so many things, but the exquisite card that you have here, you say it relates to the third eye chakra. Why?
No one's asked me that before. I really enjoy your directness.
Thank you.
Okay. So lapis lazuli has a very powerful effect on third eye. I mean, it's just my opinion, of course. Because it, for me, has strong association with Egyptian ceremony, whereby, I mean, it's a very long story, which is sort of covered in my books, really, but it's the initiation process that the Egyptians undertook, whereby we were denied our normal senses of touch, smell, and sight, and had to rely on our intuition in order to guide us. And so lapis, for me, serves as a very powerful activator of our third eye, because in order to work with our third eye and activate that chakra, we need to develop and listen and trust our intuition. And our intuition often doesn't use our normal senses of touch, for example, or with our intuition, things aren't normally, we can't normally touch with our hands, or we can't taste them, or we can't see them with our ordinary eyes. So lapis is a very powerful activator of the third eye for that. It supports us in trusting our intuition.
You have 44 cards in this deck. Number 25 is amber. Amber I know about because I had an experience many years ago with a coworker who was from Russia, and her mother had been cured of this humongous goiter, and she had this necklace that was so long on her. Well, her mother's goiter had been huge, and among the Russian people, those that were familiar with stones, etc., told this woman to put the amber around her neck and the goiter would disappear. And it did. So that was one of the first stories I ever heard about stones and their effects on people. And amber is related to the solar plexus, mm-hmm. and it has an element of fire to it. Now, we all know amber is ancient sap that bugs got caught in. The value of it, though, and it comes in many different shades and many different colors, and the stone, as you are showing it, is exquisitely beautiful. It shows so many different colors. The patternings are just incredible. What a job it had to have been to photograph this, to bring them to life the way you have. They are just absolutely beautiful, and you say that this is something that has a warming energy to it. Many times we start to get run down, and I thought of this story with this woman that I knew. Her name was Dana, and the story about her mother being healed with amber. And I thought, this really, here you've got it, and this is many years later, and it's in your book, and it's something you've related to. And I thought, this is an interesting link with something that I had a conversation with someone about many years ago. Amber is quite powerful as a stone, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It has a very warming effect, especially on our solar plexus, which is obviously the center of our nerves. And if our nerves, you know, if we experience stress or feelings of being frazzled by something, over a long period, it's our solar plexus and our nervous center which tends to get run down. Our nerves and our solar plexus are absorbing information on so many different levels, from the psychic level, emotional level, geopathic level. And that's fine, and that's what it functions for. But of course, there are some things in life which can damage the solar plexus, and that can be long-term stress, can be long-term eating the wrong sort of foods, for example. Anything that, you know, weighs and, you know, brings our energy levels down. And so amber is really balancing the solar plexus, and it asks us to look after ourselves and take care of our body, take care of the sort of energy we're taking into our body. And that can be, of course, emotional energy, but that can be food energy, that can be psychic energy. Amber really just confirms to us to look after ourselves and see that we need to nurture ourselves, and we need to see ourselves as important, and our body is important. Otherwise, you know, we're not going to function.
You have, again, just done an incredible job with your photography, or whoever did the photography of the stones, because they are just incredibly beautiful. Malachite. I was astonished when I looked at this, how there was, in the stone's formation, this exquisite six-pointed star, and then the malachite forms hearts. The patterning is so balanced and so perfect. And when I was in Russia, I know I was in a malachite room in St. Petersburg. And it, I'm telling you, now this is a very soft stone. This is a stone that can be extremely difficult to work with. And what this relates to is the base. You say when it comes to the chakra, it's the base chakra. And I liked what you said. You said the malachite's growth can remind us of a more flexible way of integrating structure and discipline, helping us to understand these functions that are vital to carry out projects. And there's much more in your book relative to it. But when I looked at the harmonic of the design within the malachite stone itself, it is so exquisitely balanced, absolutely exquisitely balanced. And the message, trust yourself in life, leave room for the unknown and the unexpected. Oh, my goodness. There are so many people that would relate to that.
Yeah. The pictures that accompany, that make up the mandalas, they are all my photography and my creation. And sometimes when I was creating them, shapes would appear that I hadn't expected.
Mm-hmm.
So I myself was learning to allow space for the unexpected as well. Sometimes I'd think, oh, they're going, you know, the creation is going in this particular way, and sometimes it was quite clear that they were going in another direction. And if that worked, then that's what ended up as the mandala. But malachite is, I think, particularly important for a lot of light workers, because a lot of us, and I would put myself in that category as well, a lot of light workers are here to assist in a new age. And part of our experience has been that the Earth or humanity has not always been the most easy place to be different in previous lives. And so a lot of light workers carry residue of feeling that humanity and the Earth itself is a bit of a difficult place to be.
Mm-hmm.
So malachite assists us in sorting those sort of patterns out within ourselves, because, you know, we need to sort them out, because we are what we're doing. We need the earth, and we need humanity to assist, and we need our bodies healthy, we need are, we need to be here. So whatever it takes for us to sort that out, that's what Malachite is here for, to help us with that.
Now, I've mentioned the two books, Unfolding Our Light and Crystal Oversoul Attunements, and one of the gifts that you give in your book is how people can develop an attunement elixir by using stones and how to do it. You go into information about the chakras. You also talk about toxic stones, which I thought was very, very interesting, and I'll just pop out an example. An emerald contains aluminum, and people wouldn't even think of that. All they see is a beautiful stone. They don't realize the chemical components that go into making this. But you have broken this down. Some things you shouldn't use in making these essences, and some stones, and others you should. Your books are, even though they are not large books, they are powerhouses, one of exquisite beauty, absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous beauty. Your cards, the 44 healing cards, does come with one of the books, the Crystal Oversoul Attunement. But each of them, the entire package, is just absolutely phenomenal. And I think it's a wonderful way for someone to be able to harmonize with themselves and the beauty that you have put this within, the context of the art, the illustrations, everything, I think just creates an awareness that is wonderful for anybody that would want to use them. Now, Michael, I want to repeat your website because I know we're just about out of time here. It's aristia.com, A like Adam, R-I-S-T-I-A.com. People can go there. They can find out all about your work. They can see examples of the cards. And they're also available as an iOS app from iTunes. I just think you have given a wonderful gift here.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, so if you go to the FinTorn site, you can. There's a mobile app and a pad app for the Oversoul cards, which have really taken off, because obviously you can use the app anywhere, and you can do mini readings with the app as well.
Yes, now, yeah, that's FinTorn Press, and that's FinTorn. Press.com. So check that out as well, because these are exquisitely gorgeous and they are just wonderful. I've shared them with some people and they just go, wow. And there's a reason for the wow, because this is first class, beautifully done. And if you have a friend or if you yourself are interested in becoming more knowledgeable about what you can bring into your environment, understanding a different application of energy, I think that you'll find that Michael Eastwood's publications and his 44 healing cards are just right what is needed. What a great gift for the holidays, too. Michael Eastwood, thank you so very much. I'm so glad we have the technology where we can travel to parts of the world that otherwise I wouldn't even have a chance to get in touch with you.
Well, thank you so much. It's been an absolute delight to speak to you, and I'd love to speak to you another time.
Absolutely, Michael. I know that we'll have that opportunity. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Don't forget, check out Michael Eastwood at arista.com. We're coming back in just a moment.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Amino Muscle Snack Time, the chewable nutrition that feeds your muscles. Amino acids are the building blocks of protein. When you exercise, muscle tissue naturally breaks down. This low-cal, chewable snack helps to reverse that process and won't pack on the pounds. You can chew a few tasty vanilla tablets or any one of their other flavors before or after physical exercise, right before bedtime, or first thing in the morning to jumpstart your metabolism into gear for the day. Convenient to carry in a purse, backpack, or briefcase, they are a tasty snack for the person on the go. Firm, fit muscles, trim, healthy body. Sound good to you? Check out Amino Muscle Snack Time Chewable Nutrition by going to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Tone up, trim up, and nourish your body to the fitness level you desire. Amino Muscle Snack Time Nutritional Tablets. Check out the information and order today. Go to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Order now.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome. I'm so delighted that you are able to join me now. 888-627-6008 is the telephone number to call into if you'd like to chat with me. And I want to let you know, because we do have a caller waiting, I want to let you know that I am going to be here live because of, even though there's a holiday tomorrow, I am going to be here and it's going to be live. We're going to have all kinds of fun things to share. I've got wonderful recipes that I want to share with you and much, much more. So just know if you have the time and you want to get together with me tomorrow morning, you can do that too. I will be taking calls throughout the entire hour if you're interested in doing that. But let's show you how it's done on the Donna Sebo Show. We are going to be taking this caller, and remember, if you want to talk to me, all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then let me tell you what I perceive. Caller, welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Steve in Toronto.
Hi, Steve in Toronto. Well, delighted that you are able to join us today. What I'm looking at, Steve, first thing right off the bat is the term organization, and then I feel like I've got to restructure. Now, what I'm looking at and the symbology that's coming into my head, it's like I have a puzzle in front of me, and it's not a great big puzzle. And it is a puzzle that has a number of different parts. You've been able to put the parts together, but it's just not right. It's just not working. So you're going to need to shuffle some of those pieces of the solution to the puzzle that you've been working on to get a new orientation. And I want you to be able to be comfortable with this, because it is going to take you out of your comfort zone. And I think this is going to be stimulated by a conversation that you're going to have with an individual. This person will have a patterning of being exquisitely, and I'm using that tongue-in-cheek, exquisitely critical. This is just their normal way of communicating. They just seem to find things that are not in the right place. And it drives everybody up a wall that knows this person. They're always coming up with a criticism. But I want you to listen with a different attitude and a different ear and say, oh, I'd just be delighted about your feedback. Now, a part of you is going to get quite irritated because you're going to say, oh, my goodness, I worked so hard. Why are they bringing these criticisms out? But then I want you to detach from that feeling of vulnerability, because that's usually what causes our hackle to go up. But I want you to realize that their comments really are quite astute comments. And I don't think they realize how astute they are. So what you need to do is listen carefully, make notes, and say thank you. That's going to shock them, because most of the time people get very turned off because they're so critical. Use it as leverage. You're going to find yourself within a very short period of time being able to shift the pieces of what you have organized into a better patterning. You're going to be far more effective, number one, in your communication skills. Number two, you are going to find yourself feeling as if you have blown away, blown up, out, and away a block that you've had within yourself. And you're going to say, I am really pleased. And if I were you, I'd buy a little bottle of champagne, get a cute little glass, give it to this person that was so critical, and say thank you, because it is really going to move you into a brand new direction. I think 2014 is going to be a powerhouse of a year for you. But I think it's going to be a powerhouse because you're open and receptive to change. And that you've sort of been hesitant on for a long time, not anymore. And you're not going to do it just to have change for the sake of change. You're going to be thinking it through. I really like this, and I think that you're going to find yourself feeling much more comfortable with the changes that are going to find their way in the direction that you're taking. It's like you're merging. You're coming on to that intersection that allows you to go in the new direction, but you're doing it in the right way. Your roadmap is going to be well laid out. I like what I see here. You're going to be fine financially. You're also going to see that your health, which for some reason you have a concern about, and I don't think you need to have a major concern about your health. You just don't need to. I don't care what the family genetics are. You're your own person. You do what's right for you. You're going to be fine. You don't have to be an extremist on anything physically. You don't. Just good common sense. You'll live a long, healthy life. Do you have a question for me?
Thank you. I do have a question. Questions about the health of my mom, actually.
Okay, now, Steve, your voice is fading out. You're going to need to speak directly into the phone, and if you're moving with your phone, because I believe you're on a cell phone, I want you to stay still.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, I couldn't hear you. You were sounding very garbled to me. So what's your question,
Steve? Yeah, my mom is in the hospital, and I'm wondering your thoughts.
Okay, you said your mom is in the hospital and she's dying?
Yes.
All right. What is your question to me regarding this?
Do you think about the treatment, I guess? Other options?
What I'm looking at is if you can talk to your mom. This is what I'm looking at. Your mom is really at a crossroad, so to speak. There is a part of her that would like to stay and a part of her that wants to go. I don't know that that's going to make any sense to you, but that is what I'm perceiving. And I think that you need to have a conversation with her and say, Mom, how do you feel about this? Are you mad? Are you sad? What is it that you're feeling? Don't be concerned about your feeling. Be concerned about hers. And ask her what you could do to make her more comfortable. What would she enjoy? If she says a hot fudge sundae, go for it. If she says I'd love to listen to some beautiful music, get her beautiful music. But you need to have a conversation with your mom. And what I would encourage you to do, before you go into her room, maybe spend a little time in the chapel or someplace, maybe it's in your car, and just say, I want to be able to experience the highest and best with her. I want to know what I can do, and I need to listen to what she has to say. And I want you to listen to what your mom says. And if your mom expresses to you that she wants to move on, you need to make that okay. And I think you have a very special gift with your mother that's going to be received if you'll be open and willing to receive it. Don't try to judge this. Don't try to make it good, bad, or whatever. Just be with her and ask her questions when she is in a position to answer them and listen to what comes from her heart. There might be an option. The option, though, would be, I think, extremely painful, very difficult for her. And she needs to let you know what she wants. That is what you need to do, is to be open and receptive to her, Steve, so that you find out what she wants. Not what you want, but what she wants. Am I making sense to you? I'll hold you in my heart and my mind, and I know it all is going to work out, but spend that time talking to your mom about things that really, be listening to her. That's the most important thing at this time. The most important thing. Find out. And I'm repeating myself for a reason. Find out what she wants. And I think you'll be given a very special gift. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break for just a moment. We're going to be back in just a minute. Don't go away.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Good health is something all of us want to have. Being aware of what we eat, its nutritional value, and how to balance our physical needs with our busy schedules is always a challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time goes a long way towards helping us meet this challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time is a nutritional food product that is portable, tasty, and in chewable tablet form, vanilla and honey flavors, a bonus for maintaining a healthy amino acid balance for healthy muscles. Amino Muscle Snack Time can be used anytime, anywhere, first thing in the morning to kickstart your metabolism. Take 20 minutes before or after a workout to help recover and build muscle. Take mid-morning or mid-afternoon to help curb cravings for unhealthy snacks. Weight loss, appetite control. Only top-of-the-line and no genetically modified ingredients are used, no caffeine added. These chewable tablets can be ordered through Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Take charge and jumpstart your food program by adding Amino Muscle Snack Time by visiting Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com for more information. Order now.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone line to call into is 888-627-6008. Steve Forbes is a man that I have a great deal of respect for, and you may or may not be aware of him, but he is a man that's accomplished quite a bit in his life. And so many times, here we are celebrating the Thanksgiving holiday, and I thought I would share with you his story, which is a very good one. He said, the key to obtaining the brass ring in life, I prefer to change a brass to gold ring in life, but that's my bias. And this is what Steve Forbes had to say. He said, one pathway to success utilized by me and my four siblings is to pick parents who already own a successful business. Of course, that's sort of tongue-in-cheek. And if that's not an option, then take to heart the phrase, thinking outside the box. Now, he talks about his family background. And his grandfather was Scottish. That was B.C. Forbes. He founded their company, came to America well over 100 years ago. And grandfather was one of 10 kids and didn't have any money. What little bit they had, it was next to nothing. And he only had a grade school education. That was it. However, when his grandfather came to America, he found that he really wanted to get involved in the world of reporting. He just absolutely loved it. He was turned down every time he tried to get a job. Now, this is what his grandfather did. Grandfather went to an editor, offered to work for free, saying to the man that he trusted the man would have the integrity to hire him if he demonstrated his worth to the newspaper. Well, that's how his grandfather got his first job. Wasn't getting paid for it, but that's how he got his first job. And he subsequently obtained a second job with another publication. Now, what happened with this was when the two editors got into an argument as to who had the best business reporter, guess what? They found out it was his granddad, B.C. Forbes. He was doing work for both of them. Now, one time, and he was fairly young when he did this, he finally had gotten into the reporting business, and he stunned his friends when he bought two of the most expensive suits he could get, and he rented a room at the Waldorf Hotel in New York, which was at the time the finest in all of the U.S. Everybody thought he was nuts. Said, you're crazy. Why? What are you doing? You're spending all this money. You can't afford to spend this money. Staying at the Waldorf, you are out of your mind. Well, he knew something they didn't know. The movers and the shakers of industry and finance congregated at the Waldorf at the end of the workday. Steve Forbes' grandfather said, if I'm well-dressed and I'm a resident there, I'm going to be looked at differently. In other words, they would consider him part of their world. He said, if I was a grubby reporter, do you think they're going to give me 5 cents a time? No. And in this way, he was able to get information, all kinds of insights into the wealthy world that was congregating at the Waldorf, got to know a number of different people. It wouldn't have been possible if he had not done what he had done. The gamble. Yes, it was a gamble. It paid off. Steve Forbes said it took vision, it took courage, it took persistence. He said, my grandfather demonstrated to our family, you can pick yourself up after a setback, and this is what is essential for real success. Remember, success is a very individual experience, but it can be real. You can have it. What is it that means so much to you? Where would you like to see yourself? Really, in your heart, in your own inner space, where would you like to see yourself? What would you like to see changed? I thought Steve Forbes' story about his grandfather was a very, very powerful one. Now, tomorrow. Oh, I've been having such a blast. What about you? Are you getting ready for the holidays? I love to cook. I don't often have the time to do the cooking the way I used to like to do it. However, I came across, as I was going through my little old-fashioned recipe box, which I've tucked away all kinds of goodies that the Sebo family has enjoyed through the years. And this is a recipe that was sent to me by my girlfriend, Betty, that lives in California. And she loves cooking just the opposite. She hates it. She can't stand cooking. But interestingly enough, she's collected some of the best recipes I've ever used. And this one, you can make in a blender. It's a pie. And I'm going to share it with you. It's called the Impossible Pie. And this is what it is. You put in a blender in the following order. 4 eggs, 2 cups of cold milk, 3/4 cup of sugar, 1/2 cup of flour, 1/4 cup of butter, just a dash of salt, 1 teaspoon of vanilla. I double the vanilla. I make it a couple of teaspoons. 1 cup of coconut. That's what you do. Put it all in the blender in that order. Put the lid on. Make sure the cap's on tight. And push the button on high. And count to 10 slowly. If any of the mixture sticks to the inside of the blender, take a spatula after you count to 10. Go around. Loosen up anything extra. Put the blender on for another few seconds. And then you pour it into a greased pie pan. Spray it with a non-stick cooking spray. Or if you're like me, you can take coconut oil, and it's not oil, but your coconut oil, it's solid, and just wipe the inside of your plate. You need a 10-inch plate, and you bake it for 40 minutes at 350 degrees. Mm-hmm. Let it cool a bit, and put it in the refrigerator. Let it cool totally. But let it cool down a little bit, because it's going to be pretty hot, obviously, after baking it for 40 minutes in the oven. Let it come to room temperature and then put it in the fridge. Oh, if you know of anybody that loves coconut, my husband loves it. This is super easy and it is delicious. And you can do so many different things with it, but I won't go into that right now. My goodness, we're almost out of time. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. It is so important to understand, as we're going through this holiday season, that we celebrate and appreciate what is around us, that we open our eyes to this wonderful experience that we call life. Don't be afraid of the challenges. Realize they're there for you to grow, to expand into what you really are, your highest and your best. You are the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Don't ever let anybody else tell you otherwise, because you are bringing a gift to light, and I'm so glad that we are having this opportunity to share the time together. And I'll be here tomorrow, same time, same place. Look forward to sharing with you again. at the Donna Sebo Broadcasting Table. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.